Do you complain? Do you complain?
Yes.
Anybody that says you don't, I'm going to call your hand on it. Everybody complains, don't they?
Yep.
I hope that I can show you this morning from the scripture here and that the Spirit of God will convict your heart about it, because it's terrible. It's a terrible thing. It's a wrong thing. I've said it before, but I remember old Brother Stats up there. He sat right behind us in the pew. And every time his greeting was, I'd say, "How you doing, Brother Stats?" He'd say, "Oh, can't complain, can't complain." I've known a few people who didn't complain. I've known a few. That I got to try to really look hard, and I can't think of anything that they complained about. That's a rare thing. But that's a right thing. Murmuring and complaining, they're almost the same. Complain is when you just voice it. Murmuring is when you just mutter. Just make it plain that you're not happy and that you're feeling mistreated and that you don't like this. But not just saying it out loud. Murmuring. You see it in the Bible so much. Made God angry every time they did it. He hates it real bad. Let me read you a few more verses. John 6, verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, "Does this offend you? Does this offend you?" That's John chapter 6. You know, about he that eateth my flesh and drinks my blood and all that. Where everybody else was offended, even his disciples murmured at it. He could see them. You could see their faces, their expressions of disapproval, of unhappy at what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." That's pretty strong words dealing with this subject. Don't murmur like they did, because they died for it. Philippians chapter 2 verse 14. "Do all things without murmuring and disputings." Quit your complaining. Don't complain about it. Do all things without complaining. Philippians 4:11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." You have to learn to be content. You have to be content. It's something you do. You do. It isn't something that somebody else does for you. You have to learn, like Paul did. Whatever's going on, wherever you're at, no matter what the circumstances, you're content. Now you have to learn that.
Yep.
I remember mentioned it here a while back, but on our New Year's thing here a year or two ago, I remember Jacob, that was one of his, he was the first on the list. That's what he said. He said his resolution was to be content no matter the circumstances. That's a good one, Jacob. I wish everybody would do that. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8. "Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." That's no car, no house, no luxuries, no candy, nothing, no fancy clothes, not a bunch of people around, not a lot of money, not a lot of success, not a lot of pleasure, not any pleasure, just having food and raiment. Be content. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Isn't that good enough for you? Ain't that enough? So without a doubt, murmuring and complaining is the most common thing we all do that displeases God. I mean, all the sins and all the things that we think about that are wrong, and we try to avoid doing wrong things and do right. This is the main thing right here. This is the most common, most prevalent. This is the dominating thing that we do that displeases God. The scriptures are full of examples and commandments against this thing here that offends God. They're full of it. You start looking at, go home and look up murmuring. Go home and look up contentment. Or content, and compare it all. Look how many times the word complain is in there. How serious is it to complain and murmur and be discontent? How serious do you take it? Well, God killed people for it. Over and over. He killed them. He destroyed them with a destroyer because of their murmuring and their complaining. That's what he did to sodomites and murderers and those kind of people. Evil, wicked people that were into spiritual evil, witches and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, the death penalty is for, mortal sins. That's what this is. You need to think about that. To complain is to curse God. We don't take it that serious, do we? We just go ahead and do it anyway. Feel like we got a right to. Feel like everybody ought to understand, and that God understands. God punished it with death a number of times in the scriptures, and that's the punishment for the most serious sins. When you complain, you're voicing your discontent. You're saying, I am not content. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I don't want it this way. I'll not have it this way. That's what you're saying when you complain. Yeah. It's to put into words for others to hear how dissatisfied and unhappy you are with your life or the people in it or the circumstances that you're in right now, whatever's going on. You're not happy with this. You're not happy with that. You don't like this. You don't want this. You're not going to have this. Not going to put up with this. That's complaining. You're voicing it so everybody can hear. You're letting everybody know this is how you feel. It's to charge God with forgetting you, being unjust towards you, and not loving you. Listen to that. This is what they said in Numbers 14 and verse 36 and 37. And the men which Moses sent to search the land and who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 27, says this, this is God's charge to these people. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Can you understand why God would get angry at that? They're in their tents murmuring. With the pillar of cloud, with the pillar of fire, with the manna from heaven, with the water out of the rock, with provision daily from God, the visible evidence of his presence. And they said, he brought us out of here because he hates us, and he brought us out here to kill us. Wish we'd have just stayed in Egypt. They murmured in their tents. No wonder God gets mad at them. To murmur is to complain under your breath or to mutter without articulating to show how unhappy you are. That's what kids do so they don't get smacked. They learn to do it when they're kids. They murmur. Because they know if they just blot it out there, you're liable to just smack their mouth. Well, that's the way it used to be. People don't do that anymore. They found a better way. We're living in generation, what is it, X, Z, Y, what is it? Where are we? Well, that's close to the end, ain't it? They found a better way to raise children, better way to do everything. Not working too good. To complain is to choose misery and bitterness over hope. Wait a minute, I think I skipped something. To murmur and complain always involves a charge against someone or against God. Somebody's to blame for your misery. When you complain, you're looking for somebody to pin it on. Your unhappiness, your discontent, the way you've been treated, how it's unfair, and why you're having it so rough. It's somebody's fault. When you file a complaint at the law, what does that mean? You're accusing somebody of doing something wrong. So a complaint is naturally, by its very definition, going to be aimed at somebody else. It's an accusation. It's a charge against somebody else for your misery, but it certainly ain't you. When you're complaining, you never blame yourself. To complain is to choose misery and bitterness over hope. You got a choice. Be content. You can learn to be content. Or you can choose your misery and bitterness. So it's a choice that you make. Psalm 106, verse 24 through 26 says, "Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." What'd they do in their tents a lot? Murmured. Just like people do now. They go home from church and they murmur. In their tent. God hears it. Yeah. Well, that's one good thing about this virus thing. Got all the churches shut down. Nobody can go home to their tent and complain about the church because they wasn't even there. They can't complain about what the preacher said because he didn't tell them nothing. They didn't get a hear. They hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. God don't sit still when people murmur and complain. He reacts. The motivation behind complaining is the absolute opposite of faith and trust in God. You got to understand that. What makes you complain? Why do you complain? Well, it's the opposite of faith in God. If you trust in God, you're not going to complain. All things work together for good if you trust God, if you believe His Word, if you're one that loves Him, if you're one of the called. But it's the open, vocal denial of God's love and goodness toward us. It's just what those people in the desert did. And they said, God hated us. He brought us out here because He hates us. You're denying that God loves you when you complain about your circumstances, about your when you're just discontent. To complain is the opposite of praise. It's the opposite. I mean, it is the absolute opposite of praise and thanksgiving. To complain, it's impossible to be. To complain is basically what I said a while ago. It's to curse God. When you complain, you're cursing God. You're mad at Him. You're speaking ill of Him. You're falsely accusing Him. You're blaming Him for whatever it is that you don't have that you think would satisfy you and make you happy. It's impossible to be led by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit or be under the influence of the Spirit of God while we're complaining and murmuring. That's impossible. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? And what's next? Joy and peace. Well, that's what contentment is. It's rest and peace. It's a mind that's at rest and at peace with whatever circumstances it's in. So, what about the Spirit of God? Where's that joy? Where's that peace? Where's that love? Where's that faith and goodness and temperance and all the rest of it? Galatians 5:2, yeah. This earth is not heaven. It's not a paradise. Life is full of trouble here. It sure is. Man's born woman is a few days and full of trouble. I mean, as the sparks fly upward, things never go right. Like you were talking about your neighbor a while ago. This is what happens to me every time. Yeah. Well, everybody feels like that. I feel like that all the time. I go to do something and it's something else and it's something else and it's somebody and it's something. Life is frustrating and it ain't easy. It's a battle. It's a battle. From the time you're born to the time that you die, life is a struggle to stay alive, to keep going. So it's not perfect. We can acknowledge that everything is not pleasant and comfortable and pleasing to us and still be content. Everything don't have to be perfect for you to be content. See, you got to get that out of your mind. That you're in the wrong direction, in the wrong realm. You can have contentment when you have the least. And in fact, that is when you find contentment. That is where most people are more content is when they have little, not much. The rich are not happy. The poor are happy. They're the ones that can have contentment with little. We can acknowledge that we stand in need and still be content. We need God, we need things, we need provision, we need protection, we need wisdom, we need a lot of things. We always need something. But that don't mean you got to be discontent because you don't have what you need right now. God knows what you need before you even ask Him. And He provides everything that we need. Do you believe it or not believe it? That's the question it has to come down to. If you're a complainer, you don't believe it. Or else you're just in a terrible bad habit of complaining. We can recognize injustices and lies and other sins around us and those that are aimed at us. People can do all kinds of evil to us and we can still be content. Contentment doesn't come. You know, it can't be found in earthly things. It can't be found in earthly circumstances or in the approval or admiration of other people. That's where everybody's looking for. Well, if I had this, and if I had that, and if I could just make this much money, or if I could just get this house fixed, or get me a better house, or, you know, if I just had more friends, if I could just go somewhere, if I could just have a vacation, if I could just do something that's fun, I'd be happy. No, you won't be happy. Not in anything like that. Nothing like that's ever going to make you happy. Never has made anybody happy. Pleasure doesn't bring contentment. Pleasure is just a short-lived, temporary, momentary thing. Comes, you like it, it's gone. Like a piece of strawberry pie. That's about how it is. Oh, it's good. But you can't eat strawberry pie all the time. Yeah. Money and success does not bring contentment. Boy, it has the very opposite effect. It does just the opposite. Money and success does not bring you contentment. It does the opposite. It brings you trouble. So why? Why do people keep believing after all of these years? I mean, after all of these centuries and millennia of human history, when you can see it every day, that this is the truth. Why do people keep looking in the same place? Why do you still think that you'd be happy if? You'd be happy if. You could be content if you had this, you could go there, you could do this. If this was that way, or that was that way. People now think that they can be content by just getting rid of their mate and getting another one. Never works. All right? Human relationships do not bring contentment, no matter how much love and respect are involved. It does not bring you contentment. We look for contentment in much, while true contentment is found in little. Now, to be content, listen to me, is to acquiesce to the divine will, to rest in the sure knowledge that God sees, God knows, and God will make all things work together for my good, since I love God and I'm one of the called according to His purpose. That is contentment. When no matter what happens, God knows. That you know, the churches are all closed. Well, just praise God and go on anyway. Right. Realize God knows about this. Do you think that the big shots of this world are any match for God? Do you think that their orders are going to somehow derail God's whole plan? God knows all about this. It could very well be God just allowed this to happen. Are good. All things work together for good. You got to get that. That's the key to being content. You get some hard licks in life. You got to realize at some point you got to grow enough in the grace and understanding and knowledge of God to realize that when something bad happens to you, look for the good. Realize that God meant it for good. Even if your friends, your brothers meant it for evil, God meant it for good. It always works that way. Always works that way. God can bring good out of evil. What evil people do, God can turn it around for good, and He always does. That ought to be enough to make you content. Make you be able to just sit and wait for God to do what He's going to do. Content, the dictionary says, rest or quietness of mind in the present condition. No matter what it is. Rest or quietness of mind in the present condition. Satisfaction which holds the mind in peace. Restraining complaint. Opposition. Or further desire. And often implying a moderate degree of happiness. So that's what it means to be content. Your mind is at rest. You're not troubled. You're not panicking. You're not planning and scheming and trying to figure out a way around this obstacle.
Right.
At rest. First, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10 through 12. This is the way David handled it. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse. This is when David's leaving Jerusalem. Shimei is cursing him. What's his name? The one that said, I'll take his head off. Sons of Zeruiah. Oh, well, I should have wrote that verse down. The verse right before that tells him, this guy's cursing David. He said, well, who is this to dead dog that he should curse my lord the king? And this was David's answer. What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. You get it?
Yep.
He's cursing David, the king. Cursing a son of Belial. I mean, a lowlife. He is cursing the king publicly. And David instead of said, yeah, take his head off that low down. He ain't got no right to, I ain't putting up with this. I don't have to put up with it. I'm the king. Nope. He said, let him curse. For the Lord has said, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? David said to Abishai, there he is, that's who it was, and to all his servants, behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. That's how David dealt with it. Injustice. Do you hear a complaint from David? Do you hear him murmuring about it? I bet you I did. Not David.
<Yeah.
clears throat> God told him to curse me? Why would David think that? And since he did think that, what did he think was going to become of it? Well, he said so. God will requite me for his cursing this day. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to lower myself down to that. All right, now let me hurry up here. So since it's established fact that complaining is a sin. Now we got that?
Mm-hmm.
To complain is a sin. I mean, if God killed him for it, I'd say that's a sin, don't you? And it's sure to bring the displeasure and wrath of God upon us. Why can't we be content? Do you know that complaining and murmuring discourages others immediately? What do you think it does to your children to hear you complain and murmur? It destroys hope in other people. It destroys hope in other people when you complain. Why do you do it? Why can't you simply accept your circumstances and rest in the knowledge that God is in control? I mean, I'm just asking here this morning. It is a sin. You say you're a Christian. You say God lives in you, you believe God, you trust God, and you think He's going to take you to heaven because you trust Him, why can't you quit complaining? Why can't you be content with such things as you have? Why can't you just be happy with what you got? Why can't you stop being covetous? Always seeing something you want. Always wanting something you don't have. Always desiring to be somewhere where you're not. Always discontent with your circumstances. Why can't you stop looking at what others have and thinking that you've been cheated somehow, or that you're being done wrong somehow, and that you're being treated unfairly? Now, do you realize that is cursing God? Why? Why can't you see the blessings that God has surrounded you with and be thankful? Well, you just don't know how bad I've got it. I mean, if you didn't have a thing and you didn't have anybody and you were sitting on an island somewhere by yourself, the birds would be singing to you. There would still be something to praise God about. Why? Why don't we focus on the blessings of life? Why do we wait until they're removed before then we start talking about how wonderful they were? Why don't we talk about how wonderful they are right now? Why can't you trust God in the way that He's ordered your life? Why do you set the standard for perfection or the ultimate goal with somebody else's life instead of yours? You don't ever think about the fact that there's people in the world all over that envy you and would love to have your life, but instead complain, be discontent, murmur about it. That's sinning. Serious sinning against God. It's not faith. Faith is not involved when you murmur and complain and you're discontent. Why can't you trust God in the way He's ordered your life? Divine wisdom puts you where you are right now. God did that. In His wisdom and in His love for you, you are where you're at right now. Wherever it is. What do you think it means when it says the Lord was with Joseph in the prison? Because Joseph wasn't murmuring and complaining. What am I doing down here? I didn't do nothing. This ain't fair. It ain't fair. I'm all forgotten and nobody's going to help me. And God, why? That ain't what was going on. No. God, I guarantee you, Joseph just praised God. And remembered His blessings. And remembered His goodness, even though his life was full of bad things. Yep. Divine wisdom has put you with the people that are in your life right now. Divine wisdom has put you in with the people that you're with right now. And it won't always be that way. It'll change. You know, things are going to change. People pass by. It's a moving thing all the time. The people that were in my life 40 years ago, none of them now. Just a few family and stuff. That's it. Yeah. Totally different bunch of people. So why can't you be content with the people that God's put in your life right now and be thankful for them? Divine love for you in divine wisdom has kept from you or bestowed upon you that which is best for you right now. It's God's wisdom and His love for you that's given you what you have or taken away from you or withheld from you what you're missing right now. God did that out of love and wisdom. Yes, yep. Believe that. That's the way this whole thing works. Right. And so how in the world could you accuse God of mistreating you? What do you possibly hope to gain by complaining and murmuring and blaming others and being miserable? I mean, what do you hope to gain? Have you ever felt better when you complained? Just let it all out. Just told everybody what you think. Just let everybody know how unhappy and miserable you were and mad and frustrated. Has it ever helped you? Never does. All right. Why? Why do it? Why think that way? So, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut. That ain't going to do no good. If you're murmuring in your heart, you're still doing it. We're talking about contentment, a mind that's at rest. Not doing that. Not even thinking in that realm. But thinking in another realm of peace and joy and thankfulness and praise. Why can you not consider how your complaining affects others and love them enough to stop it? You know, look at the children. Look at those around you. Look how it discourages them when you complain and when you're unhappy. Why can't you just live your life trusting God and praising Him for the abundant blessings that He's bestowed upon you? Why? Why can't we do that? Well, we started here in Psalm 144. That's the verse I read. You go to the next Psalm, 145, and it starts out, and in my Bible it says, David's Psalm of Praise. And it goes all the way to the end of the book of Psalms. Five chapters there, five Psalms. And that's what it is. It's David's Psalm of Praise. Well, now, he praises God all through all the Psalms, but this one is just... And he says so many things. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The people who he just said, don't complain. No complaining heard in our streets. Right after he prayed that complaining would not be heard in their streets, he shows us what it looks like and sounds like for a people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. See, when you have these kind of thoughts and basic foundations in your thinking, the Lord's good to all. And He is, and His tender mercies are over all His works. How are you going to complain? How are you going to be discontent? If you believe that. If you say that. If you think that with your mouth, if you really believe that, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Well, then if your car blows up on the way home, you ought to be able to just say, well, Lord, you're going to have to show me what to do now. Instead of, oh, no! I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, it's hopeless. The bank won't loan me no more money. And we ain't got no way to fix this. Oh, God.
Yep, that's right.
Why does this have to happen to me? Me. It's just me all the time. This is my luck. Ain't no such thing as luck. Psalm 145, verse 10 and 12. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. And thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Now, that's what David said the people of God are like. They're not complainers. They're not discontented people. That's what they talk about. The works of God. And the glory of His kingdom and of His power and making known to the sons of men His mighty acts. A little different than what was... They're not going to be talking about their complaints. Psalm 145, verse 17 through 21. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. This is David's Psalm of Praise. Right after he talked about not complaining. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Don't you see how that connects to this thing of not complaining? That's what he believed. That's what David believed. So that's why you don't hear him complaining. That's why you hear him praying that won't be no complaining heard in our streets. Oh, that everybody would be this way. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works toward the children of men, and quit their complaining instead. Why do they want to gripe and complain and murmur and accuse God when they could just praise Him for His goodness? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Quit complaining and murmuring. See the good and the blessings and speak of them. And when you do that, just watch the positive effects that it has on those around you. I want to say this, and I'll be done. Children need to hear praise and thanksgiving, not murmuring and complaining. It'll make the difference in whether they are happy or miserable in this life. They live here on earth and in eternity. Are you listening to me? I really believe that. I believe it'll make the difference. I've lived long enough to watch people. I've watched little children, you know, and I've noticed this. If they've got a mama that's calm and gentle and soft-spoken and don't complain, you're going to see happy children. If they've got a mama or daddy that just gripes and complains and bad-mouths and unhappy and discontent, they're going to be wretched children. And that, not only that, but they're going to grow up to be that way too. Yep. Times 10. Yes. Yeah. Complain. That there be no complaining in our streets. All happy is the people that is in such a case. Happy is a people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We could go on this matter. It's just such an important thing. Preached on it before. But Lord, it's something we need often. All of us do. We're too apt to complain. We're too apt to focus on the problems. And without any faith to believe that you're in the matter and that you're watching and knowing everything and that you are going to do something with this. Everything is for our good. Even the bad things that happen in our life. Always bring a blessing if we'll just trust you and believe you. Please help us, Lord, in this matter, all of us, to resolve, to quit complaining and to start praising and being thankful for all the blessings you give us. If anybody ever had reason to bless the Lord and thank Him for His many blessings, it's us. Please help us, Father, this morning to take this home with us and keep it and apply it in our everyday life in Jesus' name. Amen.